this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Thank you. Thanks, band. Bring back double inheritance for the firstborn. That's what I say. Sorry, second children. Luke's like, you're a physio. You can figure it all out. I don't have a specialist qualification, so I need all the help I can get, you know. All right, it's great to be here. Last Sunday of the year. Some of you, if you were here, may remember I actually preached the first Sunday of the year. Does anyone remember what I preached about? That's all right, I didn't either. I looked it up. I actually spoke about aligning with Christ for 2025 so you can fulfill God's plan for you. So I thought it'd be fun to go around and just ask everyone, have you fulfilled God's plan in your life? And just put you on the spot? No, I'm not going to do that. But it's Christmas period, Boxing Day sales kicked off. Is everyone's algorithm just full of ads and just the most random stuff that you probably didn't need? Or you get buyer's remorse because you see something and you're like, I wish I saw that before Christmas. I would have got that for someone. Or the same thing you bought for half the price. You're just like, oh, okay. Well, I'd like to ask you, what is the biggest impulse purchase you've bought off the internet or advertising in general? If you're still doing, you know, TV ads, that's getting you. Have you ever seen a purchase? You're like, I will get that. I have no reason to get it. Well, I would like to trump that because I had not planned for this and we weren't looking. But I was on Instagram scrolling ads, or not ads, but most of it is now anyway. And I ended up buying a house. And so I'll tell you how that came about. On social media, the kids are running around and I see a house and I'm like, oh, I've always wanted to live like in that street. And it's got an extra bedroom, which I thought by the time the kids get to high school, it'd be nice to have that. And then I saw it was kind of cheap. And also there was an open home in an hour. And so I told Lara, hey, let's go check out this home. She's like, why? We're not buying a home. I'm like, well, I don't know. It's just cool. It's nearby. And so we showed up and there was only like one other person there. And so the agent was kind of onto me like, oh, you already got bank approval? And I didn't lie. I just said, yeah, I'm totally ready. Totally. Didn't have any of that. And this is, you know, the week before Christmas. So I just thought this is kind of not going to happen because the bank will just laugh at me. So I did get home and I'm like, maybe I should just kind of go for it because it's kind of a crazy price. And so I called the bank and said, you know, this is what I want to do. And they were kind of just like, yeah, okay. Yeah, 3 days before Christmas, sure. I was like, okay, that seems crazy. And then I just kind of kept thinking, well, this is going to fall apart. Like, there's no way. And then part of what I have is the army helps with the banking. They have like a special defense loan thing. And so if you combine bank bureaucracy with like the government defense force bureaucracy, I'm just like, well, this isn't going to get done until like 2027. So that's fine. And that's, you know. So I called them and said like, hey, I just put this application in, but I need it in like 2 days. And they went, yeah, okay, no worries. And then it was approved half an hour later. I was like, what? And then I was thinking, well, I don't really want to do bridging loans. That's kind of scary and all this and like selling our place. So I called the agent that I bought the place off and said, hey, like, could we sell our place like this week, you know, the week before the end of the year? She's like, yeah, if you sign today, we'll do an open home in 3 days. We'll make it happen. And so she did that. And then we ended up signing, buying and selling completely within 8 days. And Lara's not here. She's not really, I kind of move pretty fast at things. And Lara, I think, still isn't fully processed it. But it was totally God. Like, all of that lining up. At every step of the way, I'm like, well, this isn't going to happen. That's ridiculous. We did the perfect, you know, you buy cheap and you sell high. And It's all just lined up. It's totally God, and it's in Nauru, so like our lives don't change that much. You know, we're not moving to the Gold Coast or something crazy. And it's just amazing. So we're just so blessed that this would happen. And now we get to go through the fun part of moving homes, which is just so much fun. And it's just the worst, right, if anyone moves home. But it's exciting because you've got this new home to move into, but at the same time, you have to leave behind your current home. And there's parts of that that I will miss. The current home I have, you know, it's got a nice view. I've got this own gym workshop thing. I've got to say goodbye to that. I have to leave it behind. And so what I want to get to today is we're finishing 2025 and 26 is coming and there'll be new things. If you've got new plans, new jobs, new things happening, that's exciting. But it's important to remember that we have to leave things behind to move forward. That you cannot live in the past and simultaneously move forward. And so the first scripture I want to read is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And today I want to talk about leaving things behind. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. He is a new creation. If you are born in Christ, you're not a renovated version of yourself. You're not a patchworked, upgraded version, cyborg thing. You are a new creation. It's a new house. We're not renovating the current one. We've got a new creation. It's not something that you just keep working on slowly over time. You are born again. We're not Stoics that just keep powering through and just tough it all out. No. God has brought us into a new world, a new under grace framework. But you have to leave behind the past. And that's what's really important here. He declares, this is Paul writing, the old has passed away. Not the old is the foundation of what we're building in the new. No, it's gone. It's passed away. And that's what's really important is that our identity in Christ comes before our behavior. Our changes are precipitated by our identity in Christ. So our faith has to come and transform us for new things to happen. That needs to occur before we can start moving on to the new things. We can't do both. In the book of Timothy, he writes similarly. He says, formerly, and we'll get into Paul's story, which is a total transformation as well. He says, formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and violent man, but I received mercy. So he knows that his past exists. It's there. It happened. But he's not dwelling on it. He's not living in it. He's not weighed down by guilt. So your past is still there, but it's not where you're headed. And you can't do both. You will. When I move into this new home, I will actually have to change my address on my license. I've got to keep a list of that. It's always a nightmare. But I will have to actually physically change my address. You don't get to have your license has two addresses, yeah? It's a mess. When I was in the army and I'd post around different states every 2 years, we would change locations every 2 years, and I had just the biggest mess. I had like a New South Wales license with a Queensland address, just everything was a mess. And I remember a cop pulled me over once, and he looked at it and he was like, "What? You have Queensland plates, you have a New South Wales license, and you're living in Adelaide. Like, what? And I was like, I was in defense. And he just went, oh, yeah, all right, just go. And he just didn't want to untangle. He was just like, you know what? I'm like, don't worry about it. Just, yeah, no. But the point is you can only have one address. You can only aim towards one location. You can only have one destination in your GPS. You can't go to multiple places at the same time. Yeah, we're not a route system. We're on a path, yeah? And that's what's really important here. Because this is the core of the Christian life. If you are in Christ, your new identity means a new life. It means a transformation of what you are doing and what you're aiming towards. Faith without this transformation, if you have faith, but you're not moving forward into a new life, then the book of James says your faith is dead. So part of the Christian life is to transform into a new person, into a new creation. It's actually necessary to continue to strive toward Christ. So as we end this year, what is it in your life that needs to be done? What are you leaving behind? What needs to be the old version to move on? We need to move on from the past. We're going to read from Philippians. Now we're going to dive into Paul, because Paul, formerly Saul, he had a fairly dramatic conversion. Fairly dramatic. He went on to spread the word across all the Mediterranean, wrote all these letters that became what is most of the New Testament now. And so we're going to read from Philippians 3:10. He says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of the resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. So this is what he wants. He knows he has this. He has the power of resurrection, the grace, God's love. And then he goes on, not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goals, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet taken hold of, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me, striving towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Paul had a big change. Paul, formerly Saul, was a Pharisee who would go around as a Jewish religious leader persecuting this new crazy religion following Jesus Christ, Christians. He was killing them, locking them up, preaching against them, whatever he could. And then he encountered Christ on the road to Damascus, a spiritual, not physical. And he completely converted and had this huge change. And you remember here, he says, we are forgetting what is behind and striving towards what is ahead. So he recognizes he has had a huge change. He's a totally new person. He even changed the first letter of his name. This is like it's, I try to think about what that kind of change would be to people. Like this guy, oh, there's this new guy, Paul, he's going to come preach in the church. And he shows up and you're like, wait, hang on. I know that guy. That's Saul. What's, oh no, he's Paul now. He's like a new person. Like that would be hard to comprehend, right? Like, I'm trying to think. Like if Pauline Hanson came out and said, I'm going to run for the Greens, you'd be like, what? What do you mean? Like that is a big change, right? Regardless of how crazy you think that is or whatever, but like that's the opposite of what you've been doing, right? Like that's a crazy change. So you cannot consider without moving forward to go, all right, yeah, cool, but that is done. I'm done with that now, yeah? You can't be in the Greens and One Nation, okay? That kind of doesn't make sense. And you can't be Saul and Paul. You can only be one, yeah? So what is it time to leave behind? Yeah, if you want to press on, he says, forget what is behind, straining towards what's ahead. So even if you forget what's behind you, it's still going to be an effort, straining towards. It doesn't say flowing or just breezing into the future. It's already tough, all right, to move towards Christ. And it's impossible to do it while you're living in the past, weighed down. Yeah, you cannot move forward while living in reverse, looking in the rear vision mirror. Yeah, I am constantly reminded of how much people can change. And the biggest for me is once a month when I'm obliged to log into LinkedIn or something by the marketing team at my company. And I see all these people. LinkedIn, if you don't know, is like Facebook but corporate life. I hate it. It's the worst. But I see all these former people that I used to live with when I was going through basic training at the academy. So we lived in the same like building. You would share sometimes a room or a hallway or a bathroom. And some of the people there were just degenerates. They were just horrible, terrible, disgusting. And now I see them on LinkedIn. They're like, I'm a senior consultant at PwC doing like multi-million dollar projects. I'm like, him? Oh, they probably think the same of me. That's fair. But like one guy in particular, I saw him, he got promoted to senior engineer consulting person. And I was like, I remember you. I'm obviously not going to say his name. He got such a reputation for being such a grub because someone caught him because he was using, like, you would share a bathroom with about five people, like in a hallway, and he kept using other people's towels because he didn't have his own towel. And everyone was like, mate, get a towel. And he wouldn't, so then everyone bought him a towel so they would stop using a towel, their towel. And then he'd start using everyone's soap and stuff. And then, this is the crazy one, then one of our mates caught him using his toothbrush. That's so filthy. And yet, now he's on LinkedIn. He's like, I'm going to manage this multi-million-dollar project. You should partner with this thing. And I'm just like, how many toothbrushes have you got now, mate? Like, are you doing a supply chain for dentistry? Like, what are you working on? Anyway, so what are we talking, like, in real terms? Like, transformation towards Christ is ongoing. It means it's always happening. It's leaving things behind. What's, like, in practice, what are some examples? Like, for me, 2025, this sounds trivial, all right? Don't laugh. 2025 is the last game of rugby that I played, okay? And that's kind of sad for me. Like, I've played rugby for, like, 30 years at this point, since I was seven. And it's time, like mid-30s with a knee reconstruction, that is the time, like you've run out. But it seems weird, like just to say, okay, I'm done with that forever, like throwing your boots in the bin. But in a more serious note, like I had to let go of like listening to certain podcasts. They were just taking up way too much time that I should have been spent doing productive things, or it was just brain rot, like absolutely no contribution to what I was doing. Just like, you know what? I'm done with that. I'm not going to do that anymore. Like watching too much, I don't know, streaming YouTube or Twitter, whatever it might be. I'm not on those, thankfully. But straining towards the future is impossible if you're weighed down. So think about what you need to leave behind in 2025. 2026 is coming. So let's move to Colossians. And this, again, is still Paul. Colossians 3:9, he's talking about habits. He says in it, you have put off the old self with its practices and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of the Creator. Yeah, so you've put off the old practices. And this, so it's not just, right, in 2025 I'm going to sin no longer. I'm never going to sin. Obviously, that's not going to happen. We're not perfect. Yeah, and if you're thinking, oh, I'm kind of doing fine, I don't really have anything I need to leave behind, nothing changed, are you saying that you're perfect? Like, obviously not. There are things that you need to probably stop doing in order so that you can start doing some things, yeah? And it's talking about here about practices. So what are some of the habits you need to leave behind? Maybe it's a habit of ignoring something you should be doing, like prayer or showing up every Sunday or whatever it is. But it reinforces that it's patterns of behavior here. It's practices. It's something that you're doing it over and over and over. Yeah? Plutarch said that character is simply a habit long continued. Yeah? So what you are, who you are, is just what you're repeatedly doing. And what you are doing is made through Christ's faith. Yeah? Or if you have no faith, it is just a reinforcement of sin. Yeah? So what you are doing is made through Christ. But that only works if your faith is working through you to transform you. You're not just leaving sin behind. You have to leave the whole system that is enabling it. It's rarely just like, oh, I'm going to do a bad thing now, right? We're not consciously thinking of that. It's generally environments, people, habits, patterns, things that just allow you to get into that habit. I had to, for a long time, in my 20s, I was very good at never saying a single swear word or bad thing around my parents at all. But that was not the case with a completely different group of people. Like, completely different, yeah? So I had to kind of recognize what I was doing there and either, you know, stop hanging out in those environments or, like, just recognize what I was doing and just be like, there's no reason for me to talk like that with those people, yeah? If sin was just a behavior, it would be easy to just, oh, I'll just stop doing that. No, it becomes practice. It becomes normal. It becomes like a scar that you just get used to. Yeah, like a limp that you just kind of grow into. You have to recognize those things and leave them behind. He doesn't just say, okay, stop sinning and doing unhealthy things, leave them behind. He says, put off the old self with its practices, the old self. Yeah? So what is the practice or the lifestyle or the thing you need to leave behind that makes bad sin in your life become normalized? Is it, you know, you're drinking too much because you're hanging out with the wrong people all the time? So stop hanging out with them so much. Are you eating too much because you're not going to God for comfort? You're going to the fridge. Are you, you're vaping or smoking because you're not laying your stress out to God? You need the chemical de-stress or something. Are you never reading your Bible because you just collapse and you just scroll on your phone forever? Like, what is the thing and the behaviors that need to change to leave behind? It's not just in isolation, like, oh, fine, I'll just eat less, never drink, pray more, no worries. If it was that easy, we would all just do that, right? It's the patterns of behavior that set those things up. Are you spending too much time watching the wrong thing, listening to the wrong thing, hanging out with the wrong people, reading the wrong things? Like, identify those and get God's power to enable and unlock those things. Leave them behind. Paul really frames this, that Colossians scripture, you have to put on the new self. It doesn't say the new self will come onto you. You have to put it on. It's an intentional decision from ourselves. We are the ones that have every opportunity to change our lifestyles that have to actually change that. We actually have to identify it, get God's power, and move forward. Why don't we get the band up? Because we need to really consider God's plan for you the next year and the year after that and the year after that is going to be completely fruitless and unfulfilled if we are living in the past. Letting go of the past is not something that's just passive and happens. It needs to be a decision in faith. It requires you to move forward and to strive to the future. If someone like Paul can completely change who he was, become the most prolific Christian writer and found the church across the Mediterranean, then you can certainly leave behind some of the bad habits of 2025. We can become new people in 2026. So before you think about, you know, New Year's resolutions and the new gym membership, think about, what have I done this year that needs to stay in this year? Yeah? Paul shows us that your past can, you know, it can explain where you are now, but it doesn't define who you are. Christ defines who you are. His plan in the future for you is the definition of who you are. He doesn't just remake you and renovate you and give you a new this and new that. No, you're a new person. You're a new address. You're going to be a new person. And we need to continue to move towards that. So let's move forward into whatever new future God has planned for you, the new story, but recognizing we're not perfect. So there are things that need to change with us. We need to leave some things behind in order to look ahead. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for your transformational power, your grace that leaves sin dead to us. We no longer live in guilt. We no longer live under fear. Jesus has transformed us. We thank you, Lord, for your power, your love, and your mercy continually on us every day to guide us and to help us, Lord. We are so thankful for you. As we end the year, we look ahead and we enjoy this weird limbo period between Christmas and New Year's. We ask you for your guidance and your strength into the future, that we have the strength to move forward, to fight forwards, Lord, to your plan for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, there is power in the name.
hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Jesus.